the Lord is saving you from something. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, what your life was, or what your life is going to be, the Lord is saving you from something. He's saving you from hell. That's exciting.
Yes.
And somebody that lived their life as I did, not very good life, but I got saved before that life really got bad. What was interesting to me is that the Lord still loved me through all those years. He still cared about me through all those years and basically waited on me to come on back. Then you come back, and sometimes the joy is just overwhelming. It's so wonderful to be a Christian, and it always ought to be that way, but we as humans don't have the ability to be joyous all the time. But I got to thinking about that a little bit, and there are times when the joy seems to rub off some. It seems to dampen a little bit. It seems the glow goes away. And what a perfect song that my wife sang for me tonight. I asked her to sing tonight. She was going to sing this morning, but got stuck down in the nursery, which seems to happen more and more all the time. And I was just happy to get to hear her voice again. I know I'm biased, but I don't care. I love my wife's voice. I think she's got a tremendous, wonderful voice. I know I'm partial, but that's all right. You're going to have to get over that, because I love to hear that voice, and I'm thankful for that. But I want to talk to you tonight. As we go throughout this life, I'm going to be honest with you, there's times when it just seems like I don't even want to go on another day. And if you would be honest with me, I think you've been there once in a while yourself too. And as a Christian, we ought to never get to a point in our lives where it's just too much of a doldrum, too much of a plow, too much of a challenge. We just can't seem to get any further. There's a way that you can overcome that. There really is. And I believe I found it tonight in the Scriptures, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that. We're going to talk about the joy of a mule tonight. The joy of a mule? That's got to be the craziest thing I've ever heard. The joy of a mule. Trust me, you hang around me for about another 10 minutes, you'll hear much, much more crazy things coming out of my mouth, I guarantee you. But understand this, there's a joy in what a mule does. I'm not saying the mule has joy, he probably doesn't. But the thing that a mule does gives him joy, and it ought to give us joy, this very same thing. If you turn in Galatians chapter 6, I want to read this to you. I might not get excited. I might not do a lot of screaming tonight, but I just want to show you something. I really do. I want to show you this in the Scriptures. Galatians chapter 6, if we will go ahead and stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 6 in Galatians, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." Verse 2 is the text verse tonight. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to stand in the pulpit tonight. Lord, please speak through me. I know the preacher is here, but Lord, I'd like to have you speak through me tonight. Lord, I believe you can do that through any man that stands behind this pulpit. You can speak through them in a special way. Lord, help me tonight. Speak through me, and Lord, as always my prayer, let me decrease tonight and let you increase. Lord, please help me. I need your help tonight. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to show you a couple of illustrations. This will make things, in my opinion, easier to understand. You have to understand this statement. You are not alone. There's a few times in the Scriptures where it mentions that Christians felt as though they were alone. I'm fighting this battle on an island. I'm fighting this battle by myself. Understand this. In this life, it is difficult to live by yourself. It's difficult to live thinking that you're the only one that fights the battle that is before you. You're the only one that fights for Jesus Christ. You're the only one that fights that Christian battle. Understand this. We are not the only ones. There are other people out there that are fighting the same battle, although we are decreasing in number every day. We are decreasing in number, maybe not necessarily of warriors, but those who are willing to fight, for sure. We live in a day and age where we ought to fight more, we ought to decide, want to fight more, but that's just gone away, and it leaves the fighting to a precious few saints today. But I'm not even talking about that end of the burden. I'm talking about your personal burden inside of your heart tonight. I thought about doing this, but because of time, I didn't think it would be prudent. I was going to pass out a piece of paper and have every single person in here write down a burden that they have right now. I'm not talking about a burden that you might have for the church to be built, although I hope we're all tugging on that burden the same. I really hope that we pray for that every single day. I know there's things that have to be done here, but I certainly don't ever want to lose sight of the vision that our preacher has to build on Infirmary Road. Amen. I believe there's things we ought to do here. Yes, I do. But I believe we ought to keep the highs on that too. That being said, I'm not talking about those burdens. I'm talking about burdens in your own life. I'm going to use you as an example, brother. You've had several family members this last year that have passed away. That's a personal burden. That is something that he's faced by, not necessarily by himself, but that is something that they've faced as a family, a personal burden. Those things may happen to you, and the burden may become more than you believe you can bear. There's things that have happened in each one of your life, I guarantee you, that the burden has become so great and so momentous that there's nothing you can do. You just think, oh, there's no way I'm going to be able to come out of this. Lord, I don't understand why you're doing this. Lord, why? As we shake our fists at him and say, Lord, I don't deserve to be treated this way. Why are you giving me this great burden? And the joy is just taken away. I remember Dr. Hiles talking about several times he would get with people and he would talk to them. And he would talk to them in his office and bring them, and he would come in to there, and they would talk to him about their burdens. And he would come into the office himself, and he would have great burdens on himself. Burden after burden after burden Dr. Hiles would carry. Burden after burden, not just of the church work. Personal burdens. Personal things that happened to him. That, you know what, sometimes preachers don't tell you about their personal burdens. Yet after you'd hear burden after burden after burden, he realized that, you know what, his burden maybe wasn't so heavy anymore. Because everybody's burden, and you need to hear this, although the burden that a person has may not seem that great to you, the burden that a person has is great to them. I'm going to use an illustration. I'm going to use this table as a symbol of a burden. And this is a burden that, by myself, boy, it's really hard to handle. It's hard for me to pick this up and take this to the other end of the church. It's hard for me to carry this. I believe that maybe I could put this on my back and maybe I could walk with it a few paces, but I'm relatively certain I couldn't make this table for a very long while without it becoming too much for me to bear. However, Andrew, come here. Andrew's my friend. Andrew, I have a burden. I wonder if you could help me bear the burden. Understand, the table, has it lost any weight?
No.
No. But the people bearing it have increased. Now understand, he can't increase to double certain because it's not his burden to bear. However, it is a burden that he's now bearing. But you know what? We go to pick up the table and, boy, you know what, Andrew? This is still a very heavy burden. And I just don't know if we would be able to make it very far, Andrew, carrying this burden ourselves. I just don't know how far we'd be able to make it. So I'm going to tell you right now, Andrew, I think we need to employ another. Jim, well, would you please come? And now I've got a third person in on the burden. Let me ask you a question. Has the burden gotten any heavier? Has the burden gotten any lighter?
No.
No, but the people bearing it has increased again. The people bearing this great burden have increased, and I know that I can't pick this burden up by myself. And if I could, I certainly couldn't carry it very far. But now I've added a couple more people with me, and it seems like, boy, that just seems like it's a little lighter. The burden seems to be lighter, but you know what? It's not light enough. just don't think that the three of us could carry it very far on our own. So I say, Bobby, could you come? Bobby's my friend. And I tell Bob, I have a burden. And I've got a few people praying with me about this burden, Bob. But I'm going to tell you, I need some more prayers, please. I need some more people to help carry my burden, my personal burden. I'm not talking again about a burden of the school or a burden of the... I'm talking about personal burdens that you have in your life. I just don't know if I can make it. So Bob, I'm going to slide this out a little bit. I'd like you to get over there because I'd like you to stand in the most advantageous spot to bear this burden. And Bob, I'd like you to help. Please help me pray. Has the burden increased or decreased in weight? But boy, we sure were able to lift it. Because now we've got more than one person bearing the burden. Hold on to it now. Don't let it go. It's amazing when you have people helping you bear your burdens, how light your burden may become. You can put it down. Please be seated. When the Bible talks, I want to go through these verses, verse by verse. I want to ask you if you know anybody like this, or maybe if you've been this person. I want you to look at verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, have you ever heard of anyone overtaken in a fault? Have you ever been the person overtaken in a fault? I want you to see the next few words here. The Bible says, ye which are spiritual. Boy, we throw that word around a lot. We throw the word spiritual around a lot to describe somebody who spends a lot of time in our eyes as a religious person. Our eyes as somebody that's close to God. Our eyes as somebody that maybe has a certain way of acting while they're in church. Do you know who the most spiritual people are to me? Is the ones that believe that they're not. I want you to hear that again. The most spiritual people to me are the ones that believe that they're not spiritual. Understand this. If I was to be overtaken in a fault, if something were to come into my life that was maybe overwhelming to me, maybe I didn't see that it was affecting my life, I believe that there are people in this church that would take the time to say, Brother Dave, you are being overtaken in a fault. Please let me help you. I believe there are people like that. Understand this. Those are the people that I believe are spiritual. There's another group of people, though. And I think those are more common, unfortunately, in just about all the churches. Let me explain something to you. I believe we have got a million mile above average church. I believe that we have people that care about and love each other here. I really do. I believe that with all my heart. But there's always room for improvement. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? And when I'm talking to you about this, I just want you to, and I'm going to leave this as quickly as I come to it. If you see somebody overtaken in a fault, don't take the time to kick them even further.
Amen.
I'm begging you. If you want to become a more spiritual Christian, do not take the time to make that person feel worse than they already do. Do not take the time to go to Brother Josh and tell him about the faults I have. Don't take the time to go to Freddie and tell him about the faults I have. Don't take the time to go to Brother Carl and tell him about the faults I have. I've got news for you. Go to them and tell them about the faults you have. Because one thing we can do without in the church today is people talking about each other's faults. And I'll leave it just as soon as I got to it. Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. See, he's got a burden. He's got this fault. He's got this burden that's been put in his life. And we as the spiritual ones are supposed to see that burden. We're supposed to understand that that is something that maybe they cannot lift on their own. And we are supposed to come around this table, grab a hold of this table, and restore that person to good life here at church. Churches all across America are flushing people out of their congregations because of things that they've done. I'm thrilled. I've been here 14 years, and I've never seen him church anybody yet. Hey, people have faults. And maybe some people should have been churched from here, but I got news for you. I'm so thankful. I've never had to make that decision, and I'm so thankful that more lives are restored here than lives are broken here. Restore such an one with a spirit of meekness. The spirit of meekness is simply this, that you don't brag about helping somebody. That's what it is. You're not coming to them to show them that you're the great and mighty spiritual giant that you believe you are. I know Jim liked me throwing in that you believe you are. The great and mighty spiritual giants that come and help you for one thing and one thing only to get a plaque on the wall have received their reward here. In all honesty, I like people better that just help to repair a life with no thought of repayment. With no thought of getting the loan back with interest. The spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. You know, it never seems to happen that way. I laugh about that when I read that the first time. I would love to see somebody get their comeuppance. This is bad. I'm going fleshly here for a moment. I promise I won't stay here either. But one time you would love to see somebody do something for somebody just to get that pat on the back and then get their comeuppance about a week later. Wouldn't that be fun one time? Just to see somebody just get it just one time real good. Ha ha, you deserve that. Maybe not. But it seems to me that very seldom people do get that. Anyhow, look at the second verse. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. What are these three things that we can do? One, we can care about each other. Now, I know that seems simple, but is it really? I want to ask you a question. What do you know about the person that sits next to you? I'm talking about in church here. What do you know about Bob and Sonia Edwards? What do you know about them? I know that they're realtors. I know that they've got two daughters in the school. I know that I would never want to mess with Bob in a fight. I know that Sonia is a very, very smart lady when it comes to real estate transactions. I know she's brilliant. But really, I don't know about their burdens. I don't know what they're facing alone. The question is, do you? Now, I'm not talking about finding out things about people so you can go to other people and gossip about their burdens. But what I am saying is, if you did know what their burdens were, what would you do with that? Would you be willing to get around this table and help them with the work that it is talking about bearing one another's burdens? You might say, Dave, you told me you were going to talk about the joy here. Where's the joy? It's coming. But you've got to understand how to get here. In the Christian life, there will be people that tell you every day it's a bed of roses. There'll be people that tell you every day it's so wonderful. There'll be people every day say, man, I'm telling you right now, it's the greatest thing ever. It is for about the first week after salvation. And then the devil comes in. And life is difficult being a Christian. And these days, it's getting worse and worse all the time. More and more do we need each other as a team in this church. More and more do we need each other to pray for each other and care about each other in this church. I mean, really care. Not just for 5 minutes that you send them a card, although I'm glad you do. I'm talking about, do you really care about their life? Bearing one another's burdens, we need to care about each other. We need to share our burdens with each other. Andrew, come up here again. We need to share the burdens one with another. I want to show you something. Stand right over there. Not touching the table. You saw how it was my burden before. And what did I do to help get this burden lifted? I went and got Andrew. I went and told Bobby. I went and told Jimmy. This is my burden. Can you please help me carry it? What happens if this is Andrew's burden and he never tells a soul? What happens if this is Andrew's burden? He never takes that burden to anybody. He never asks for help. He never wants people to pray for him. He never wants people to talk to. He never talks about any of those things. He just goes through his life bearing this burden all alone and never being able to get rid of it or never be able to carry it very far. What happens? The burden never gets lifted. The burden never gets lifted. And you might say, well, Brother Dave, Jesus can take away any burden that you've got. I guarantee you he can. But I wonder if one time Jesus isn't giving you a burden that's too big to bear so you can go to other people and learn how to get joy from helping each other out. We sometimes put Jesus in a test tube. Sometimes we think that the situations that we have are bad because Jesus has made them bad. Did you ever think for 1 minute that maybe Jesus made you a situation that was bad so you could live through it? Hey, listen, I've talked to people after people after people that have told me, man, Brother Dave, I've had to live through some things that you never understand. Oh, I understand them. I understand them very well. You live through them so you can help somebody else live through it the next time. We have to bear one another's burdens. If Andrew keeps that on his own, Andrew, what are you going to do with that burden? He's not going to do much. That's a heavy burden. Now, you have these scoffers that will stand around and say, well, that's a stupid little burden. That's nothing. Yeah. Ah, man, listen to all the things I've had to live through, you dirty, rotten dog. Man, I've had to live through having a mom that's a lesbian. That's certainly not a big enough burden for me to worry about. And that was a burden in my life. It was. But I'm going to tell you right now, I had people praying for me. I had people helping me. I had people talking to the Lord about me. I had people that were trying to say, you know what, Brother Dave, we've never lived through this, but you know what? Maybe if we would work together, maybe we can find a situation here. I went to my preacher. I went to our evangelist, Dr. Jim Delishman. I found some answers by having other people help me. But if Andrew wouldn't have anybody help him because they believe his burden to be small, what kind of Christians would we be? Bear one another's burdens. It didn't say bear one another's big burdens. Listen now. It didn't say bear one another's small burdens so you don't have to work too hard. It said bear one another's burdens. I like this. Several times, and I'm not ashamed to admit this, several times my family has struggled financially. I'm not ashamed to admit that at all. I would just about bet that everybody in this room could raise their hand at this very, very same thing. You know what's amazing to me? Is that I had the burden, I still to this day, good Lord, it seems like you can never get out of financial difficulties. But you know what's amazing? The Lord seems to always find a way to provide through the craziest ways. Talking about people praying for me and having them say, man, I wish you could pray for me. We're going through a rough spot right now. Man, just things seem to be getting more and more difficult. The Lord is not asking you to face that alone. The Lord is not asking you to face that by yourself. This is hard for the men because the men love to face financial responsibilities on their own. They don't like to even include their spouse in their problems. You listen to me. You include your spouse. She's facing it whether you believe it or not. And it's better when you're facing it together as a team than it is to face it by yourself. And if Andrew finally decides, you know what, Brother Dave, I didn't think I was going to ever get through this, but you know what, I need your help. Could you pray for me? Could you help lift my burden? And then when Brother Dave gets on the other side of the table, it's amazing how much more he can get done. It's amazing if you may be seated, it's amazing what you can do if you help bear one another's burdens and you help share your burden. Ed White, if you're going through something right now and you keep it to yourself, how can we as Christians help you? And understand, it's difficult to say you're in a burden. It's difficult to say that you've got hard things ahead of you, but understand this. You are in a church, in my opinion, that is unlike any other. You hear my words now. I believe we're unlike any other in the simple fact that I believe we truly do love each other here. I believe we truly do care about each other here, and I really believe with my heart that nobody in this room wants to see anybody else in this room fail. If we can live in a church like that, if we can live in a place where Jesus is held up, and man, we are in a place where, wow, we can just go ahead and live and not have to worry about what other people think. What a glorious church house that is. Yeah. Bear one another's burdens. Share one another's burdens. And then prepare. Now listen to this. Prepare to stay with that person for the relief of that burden and until the relief comes. And prepare to have satisfaction and happiness. Let's keep reading. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Why does the Lord say that here? I read that. I said, man, Lord, why did you put that here? And then I got to thinking, boy, and I think this is good. If you think you're something, by the way, you are nothing. Just to let you know, that's a happy time in the message. Everybody in here is nothing. Huh. But if you think yourself to be something, you are not going to bear another person's burdens. Listen to me. If you think you're something, you are not going to take the time to bear a burden. You're not going to take the time because you believe that you are a spiritual giant and you don't have time for the commoners. You're going to get yourself into a position that, bless God, no matter how bad it gets for that person, I'm not going to help because I don't have the time. If you think you're something and you're nothing, you deceive yourself. And what's going to happen is this. You're going to get a burden someday in your life, and nobody's going to help you either. Look at the next verse. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have what? Now, listen, now, hold on a second. Let me get through the first phrase here. I love this stuff. This is good. I like this. Let every man prove his own work. Who are you proving things to? You are not proving something to Andrew if you come and help him with his burden. You're not proving anything to him. He came to you for help. He probably thinks you're a pretty good guy or a girl right off the bat. Who do you have to prove your work to? The work part, who do you have to prove it to? Listen to this. If you come into the situation because you desire Andrew to give you a pat on the back because you helped him through your burden, did you do it for the right reason? No. You've got to prove your work to Jesus Christ and let him know that I am doing this, Lord, for you, not for anything else. I want to help that brother so we can further you. You're not helping him to make you look good. You are helping him to make God look good. Now understand something. God doesn't need any help looking good. And what happens, and that's why it gets to this next part. I want you to see this next part. Let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing where? In the church house, from the pulpit. He ought to have that rejoicing somewhere out in front of everybody at a youth conference. He ought to have rejoicing written on the side of a bus going down the street. He ought to have rejoicing in the Becca Club meeting. He ought to have rejoicing in himself. I'm going to tell you right now, folks, I get to looking at this in himself alone. You help somebody, oh boy, this is good. We've said this 100 times from the pulpit. The word others. The word others. The word others. If you want to get joy, I'm talking about the two-syllable Joel Osteen joy. If you want to get joy in your life and have rejoicing, you need to bear one another's burdens. Nothing makes me feel better inside. Nothing makes me feel better than helping somebody. I don't care what it is. It doesn't have to be earth-shattering. It doesn't have to be wonderful, tremendous. I used to get a kick out of making Mary's house 150 degrees. She had to have it at 150 degrees. And if you think I'm lying to you, ask the people that go over to her house every once in a while. It was 150 degrees. She was the only person in all of Rootstown that was actually her own weather climate.
Yeah.
I used to get a kick out of that, not because I was able to come here and tell people that I lit Mary's furnace. I was happy because it helped Mary to relieve a burden. And it was just a little simple burden, small. The burden of, man, I'm just not warm enough. And I can't light that old stove on my own anymore. And I had fun going over there and cleaning out the dead black squirrel out of that thing. There was a black squirrel in Mary. Yep. She roasted that baby. She lit the fire was still burning. The squirrel said, I don't even have to hibernate. I can just go right in this little tunnel right here. There is 100,000 degree heat coming out of this baby. Yeah. That squirrel was probably making popcorn in one of those microwave bags at the top of her chimney before he fell in. And he fell in and he cooked. He cooked. Because we took him out. He was one piece solid and he was standing straight up and down by holding his tail. You could have used him as a fan. Now, he went in. I think he was black when he went in, but he may not have been. He may have been a brown squirrel or a gray squirrel, but by the time he was done cooking, he was black. Now, I enjoyed that kind of thing, and it wasn't. And it gave me joy, not because I care about getting accolades. I didn't care about that. Mary didn't even have to tell me thank you. I wanted to give this burden a lift. I wanted to take some out of her life. And let me tell you something. If you don't think it was a burden, watch preacher's phone when she got cold. Preacher, I'm cold. Preacher, I'm cold. I mean, I'm telling you, it was every 25 minutes, that poor lady. She'd have her oven open. I don't know if you've ever been over to her house, man. I love little Mary. She had her oven open all the time, billowing out electric heat out of that baby. Do you know her house was only about 5 foot by 5 foot? And she heated, the oven was just about as big as her house. And she used to have the oven door open, her burners on the top, and then she had two little ceramic heaters that Dad bought her over this last winter's cooking. And she still wanted the furnace lit. And then when the furnace got lit, she still left those things on. It had nothing on her, I guarantee you. Turn up the furnace 7 times hotter, she'd go in and plant daisies, I promise you. It was a simple, small burden. I enjoyed trying to make it too hot for her. It only happened a couple times. I enjoyed trying to make it so she'd have to open the door to let some of the heat out. Seriously. And what was great about it was it made me happy. Now I want you to read this. Let every man prove his own work. Brother Dave, why are you going over to Mary's house? Please don't misread that I'm using myself as an illustration here. Please don't misread that. I could care less whether you like that or not. I don't. I'm just using this as an illustration because this made me feel good. But let every man prove his own work. Why did you go over there, Brother Dave? And then, when your work is proved, when you did it for the right reasons, glory to God, when you did this, what you did, when you did it for the right reasons, brother, then shall you have rejoicing. Not amongst your peers, not amongst the person that you help, not amongst everybody else. Glory to God, if you want to have joy, you have joy in yourself for helping others. Rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Then look at that next verse, and this puzzled me when I first read this. For every man shall bear his own burden. Well, Brother Dave, you just contradicted yourself. No. When you go through the first 3 verses here, it changes your burden. Listen, this used to be my burden. It used to be my burden. I had people help me with my burden. Then I saw Andrew had a burden, and I went to help Andrew with the burden. Did my burden ever go away? No, but I had help. Did I help Andrew with his burden? My burden changed. My burden changed. It's crazy. Listen to me now. This is a simple thought. I really don't have much more to offer than simple almost all the time. So get this simple thought. That's about as deep as I'm going to get. My burden went from being my burden to his burden. Let every man's going to bear his own burden. The question comes then, what is your burden? Is your burden this? This is your burden. It's my burden. Boy, it is my burden. And I've asked people for help. Then it doesn't become your own burden. It becomes everybody's burden. And then when I saw Andrew had a burden, I focused my eyes instead of on my own that I'm getting help with. I looked on his burden. And you know what? When I got on his burden, it seemed to me like the world just wasn't so bad. Because I'm helping somebody with their burden. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you could describe a mule, he would be a beast of burden. I'm going to challenge you tonight, and I'm almost done, to become beasts of burden for each other. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I this has got to be just about what heaven's like. Although there are probably no problems there, I would imagine. Everything's perfect. Wouldn't it be great if we cared about each other enough, became close enough that we would bear one another's burdens, that everybody had a hand in everybody's burdens, so everybody would be willing to lift each other up every single time something came up? Amen. That no matter what Andrew had going on in his life, no matter what Travis has going on in his life, and Austin Shell, no matter what they have going on in their lives, hey, these boys can have burdens just like old people. Yeah. Don't think that teenagers are facing more burdens today than we've ever faced it throughout history. We ought to want to help each other. We ought to want to bear one another's burdens. What's sad is we see people walking around like this every day. We see them walking around like this, but we won't help. And I've got news for you. It's no fun dragging around a burden by yourself. It's no good dragging around. It makes you tired. It makes you not want to serve anymore. Let me tell you something. People wash out of churches every single day because they didn't get their hands shook. People walk out of churches every single day not wanting to come back because people weren't friendly enough. People walk out of churches every single day because the world has overcome them. And the one place that they can go for help, they don't find it.
Yeah.
Understand this. We should not bear our burdens alone. Everybody ought to want to help everybody.
Yeah.
You want to get joy? You want to get joy? Become a mule. Just become a beast of burden for this church. Just become a person that cares so much that you know what, no matter what's going on in your life, I'm thankful. We need to go after the lost. We do. We need to win them now because it's becoming too late. I understand that. But you know what? Inside these four walls are some people that may be lost too. Not necessarily from Christ, but in their life.
Yeah.
They might need some help from you who knows your way. They might need some help from you who maybe has it together a little bit better than they do right now. And they need your help. How dare you turn and look the other way as a Christian? How dare we do that? We are to desire to help. And then what's amazing is the more people that pitch in, the lighter the burden gets. Good night, man. If I had called 50 guys up here to lift that table, we could have thrown it all the way to Dallas and interrupted their game. Two more verses and I'm all done. Look at verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What that's saying is, man, it's not going to be easy to be a burden bearer. It's not. Never said it was going to be easy. But I am saying that it's going to be better to be a burden bearer. It's going to be better if I pray for Rod and Debbie Black every day while they're gone in the ministry. It's better if I pray for them. I'm better if you pray for me. I'm better in the things that I have to do. I'm better if you pray for me. If you love me, if you care for me, I'm better. No matter what, it may be hard for you. It may be wearisome to you. It may be something that maybe puts a task on your life. But understand this. The Bible says, be not weary in that well-doing. For in due season, we, look at this. Look at that. What that says. Can you see what word it uses there? It didn't say ye shall reap. Hold this now. You should circle that right there. You need to circle that word. Because I'm going to tell you right now, it does not say that one person's going to reap. It does not say that two people are going to reap. It says we shall reap the benefits of loving one another. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Because if we do faint, people are going to fall off to the wayside. They're going to lose the thought of wanting to be around Jesus Christ and wanting to be around you as Christians. But if we bear one another's burdens, let us not be weary in doing that. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, look at this now. Let us do good unto all men. But there's a specific category that the Lord talks about. And this is the one I want you to hear tonight. We should do good unto all men. I don't doubt that at all. But we should especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now listen. I don't have the answers. I don't. But know this, if you want to lead a happier life, you got to help each other. If you want to lead a better life to where you're not constantly dwelling on what your problems are, get people involved in your problems. Because somebody can pray for you. Somebody can help you. And we as Christians ought to desire to help each other. The bad thing about Christianity, and we've lived through this, and preachers, you're going to live through this, and this is going to happen. When you love somebody enough to bear your burdens to them, to let them have your burdens, when you love somebody enough, eventually you are going to get taken. Eventually, you're going to get somebody that turns on you and spreads rumors. Eventually, you're going to get somebody that turns on you and hates you and kicks dust in your face and stabs you in the back. Eventually, that's going to happen. Do it anyhow. Because I'm going to tell you right now, by and large, the people are going to desire to help you, desire to care about you, and desire to love you, by and large. And we need to as a church. We talk about moving forward, and I want to do that. That's one of the greatest things we can do. But understand this. We better love each other a little bit more in here and care about each other a little bit more in here before we decide to go over there and add 300 more people that we don't know. If you want to have happiness and you want to have joy, oh, you've got to think of others. You've got to think of others. The happiness and joy of a mule is somebody that just gets their sleeves rolled up and gets dirty with you and your burdens and decides, you know what? I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to do everything I can for you. And I don't want repayment. I don't want repayment at all, because the Bible tells me in due season, We will reap. Us together are going to reap. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you again for the opportunity to preach your word. Lord, I'm begging you tonight. I'm begging you to get in the hearts of these people and let them know how much we love them and care for them. And Lord, we need to make this a place that we can say, honestly, people love each other. Lord, I'm so thankful we have a place like that. I really believe this church loves and cares about one another. But like I said, there's always room for improvement. And I think, Lord, that if we would get together and discuss one another's burdens and be able to help each other and bear one another's burdens together, I really believe, Lord, that that would help our church to move forward. Lord, we're all pulling on the same rope. Lord, please help us get through. Help us, Lord, to see that you just want us to help each other. Because, Lord, I believe there's going to be a reaping time. I believe there's going to be a time, Lord, when you repay, not person to person, but you repay us as a group for loving each other and caring about each other. Lord, please be with us tonight and help us, Lord, to always look to help others. Lord, that was your battle cry. Others. Others was your battle cry. Others he could save, himself he could not save. But he did save others. And Lord, I'm so thankful that you came down and saved this other right here. Lord, be with us tonight, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Preacher.